The Truth News Network. In a time when the world is a dangerous place and facts are hard to come by, here's one refuge where only the truth resides. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
And here's your guardian angel, Dan Newman.
One thing I can do is point out some facts for you. We're going to get right to it today and do just that. Well, let me ask you a question. Coming out of a horrible weekend of terrorism, and it actually was terrorism, but let's get one thing straight. Protesting is one thing. Protests are very peaceful. In fact, most cities in which we saw these protests begin in over the weekend require actual permits to be applied for legal protest. I haven't heard, but I don't think any of those that we saw were legally permitted. All that being said, folks, protesters don't get violent. Protesters don't destroy property. They don't shoot people. They don't drag people out in the streets and beat them up. That's not protesting. That is actually rioting and terrorism. Have you had enough? I certainly hope not, because they're just getting started. Remember yesterday I told you the gloves are off here at Truth News Network? We are through at couching our explanations for egregious acts taken by the left, the media, and politicians, and their minions. We going forward are going to give you facts about what happens every day, as we always have. But we're going to give you the perspective of the possibilities for those actions being taken. We haven't been doing that all the time here. Now, we will always make clear what is fact and what is our opinion when we do it, which we always do. But these are going to be a little more demonstrative. We're not stepping across the line. We're just going to begin to share some of our perspectives that we have not in the past, just because we don't want to confuse you. But you're sharp enough. You get this. You understand this. And we will always be very, very clear. But the muck and the mire in media today make it really difficult to even see the things that are happening, let alone determine their purposes and their meanings. So why is all this happening? Have you asked that? I'm sure you have. I have a dozen times. One thing I do know, it's all purpose-driven. What's the purpose, and who is driving that purpose? That answer is not a simple one. It's detailed, it's lengthy, but it's relevant. And we're not going to be lengthy today at all. Let's spend just a bit of time to carve out a block of understanding for everybody. Everything that happens, or everything that does not happen in Washington, is politically driven. When I say everything, that's exactly what I mean. Congressional recesses, receptions, visits from foreign dignitaries, press conferences, dates and times for press conferences, dates and times for filing legislation, whether or not legislation is considered on the floor of the House or the Senate, who sponsors and who co-sponsors bills, who speaks on the floor and who does not. All of those things and numerous others are each and every one politically devised and offered to the American people, always with one objective: to further the cause of the political entity in charge. And that, folks, means both Democrats and Republicans, both parties. Everything that happens in its purpose or purposes is to, among other things, always attack the leaders of the opposing party. For example, any legislation put forth in the House of Representatives today has very little direct ties to how that legislation is to and will impact the Americans for which it's offered. Oh, each piece always has some goodies attached to pacify the electorate. Every legislative House action in this Congress is fundamentally driven and targeted to defeat Donald Trump this year. Every one of them, folks. In the Senate, under GOP control, actions are devised to protect the Republican agenda that, at least in part, is in place, and that includes confirmation of ambassadors, administration officials, circuit judges, district judges, appeals court judges, and the biggie, judges or justices appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. The media march to the beat of one solemn drum, just one. And what is the drumbeat of that drum? Denigrate Donald Trump and destroy any and all of his supporters. keep a narrative created and rebounded throughout each day to cloud the reasoning of as many Americans as possible. And to be successful at that task, they must hide the truth by wrapping it in what they determine is a palatable package so as not to offend too many conservatives. Examples of that below that happened yesterday on Monday. I've got those for you. This combination of what has become a DC monster has been laughed at, derided, rebuffed, and scoffed at for a couple of decades. Its final designation seems to be the deep state. Few will now even take issue with that term because during the last 3 years, Americans see daily the actions of a coordinated combination of leftist politicians and diplomats, along with the media mouthpiece of the deep state. They no longer even try to hide it. It's in full view every day for all of us to see. To be successful, all those considered to be turncoats to this cause must be eliminated, either literally or denigrated so vehemently over an extended period of time as to destroy the public credibility these people might have. No punishment is too severe. I'll repeat that, and I mean exactly what it says. No punishment is too severe. There are many who have actually paid the price for their refusal to play ball that have mysteriously disappeared or have even suddenly died. The media in all this, yesterday, Monday, June 1st, 2020, yesterday President Trump shocked the world, especially the world as it exists in Washington, by conducting a press conference in the Rose Garden. That's not unusual. And then he headed with his Secretary of Defense, Attorney General, Secretary of Homeland Security, Chief of Staff, his daughter, son-in-law, and a covey of Secret Service agents across Washington Park to St. John's Church, the church that rioters looted during the last few days. He had in his press briefing in the Rose Garden made it clear that the issues that have happened around the nation in multiple cities that purportedly began as peaceful protest were all right while they were just protest. But when in each city protest and protesters were allowed to become rioters and looters, the leadership in those cities and states were legally responsible to protect their citizens, the property and businesses in those cities and states, and to enforce the laws of each state regarding protesting and rioting. I think it's safe to say that the media showed us no demonstration during the past week in which any city or any state effectively quashed or even tried to quash the rioting. Yet, we watch and listen as mayors and governors, members of Congress, pretty much everyone in the press, they blame Donald Trump. They do this in spite of the fact that each knows the president by law cannot take unilateral law enforcement or military action in any state without the request, authorization, and implementation jointly with those cities and those states. And I've heard more than one mayor, one governor, one state attorney general tell the president via mass media, stay out of our city, stay out of our state, leave us alone, we can handle this. And he's done just that until Monday. On June 1st, he put those mayors and governors on notice that peaceful protest is legal and fine as long as they abide by the laws. Riots are not legal and will no longer be accepted in the United States of America. U.S. citizens are watching as their private property, their businesses, their livelihood are torched by thugs. Yep, I used the word thugs. That was me, not him. Who are nothing more than anarchists who care not for the purpose of the peaceful protest. They simply want the U.S. government and all Democrat political operations in the United States to cease. Their goal is to make that happen. So what's the end result hoped for by the deep state? Well, that answer is simple. They have to get rid of Donald Trump. Why are they so vehemently opposed to Mr. Trump? Well, they have never seen a politician at any level in the U.S. who has such fundamental convictions regarding the Constitution, the rule of law, the rights of citizens, and the absurdity of the U.S. political system as it is in process today. They just don't know how to deal with it and how to deal with him. So their result they're looking for, they've got to destroy him. Now, they found out they can't beat him at the ballot box. They failed in multiple bogus investigations, including an impeachment. They this year have used a worldwide pandemic to weaponize against this president. And now they have a new and shiny but nastier tool, anarchy. Isn't it sad that so many people have been sacrificed at the altar of power for the deep state? Literally sacrificed, folks. People have given their lives. Americans have literally been slaughtered just to try and tear down the achievements for the people by this man while serving as president. Why would they take such drastic measures? I could speculate here. I'm not going to do that today. But I will say this. In my lifetime, I've seen only two possible answers for such actions to be taken. And I've never seen any that have had such devastating results during their quest to use and to win. The members of the deep state just cannot reconcile in their minds why a billionaire from Queens, who has everything that anybody could want in life, decided to jump into politics and jump in right at the top. They cannot fathom what his end game can possibly be. They cannot understand him. Charlie Kirk put it succinctly in an interview about his new book. Take a look and listen at this.
Why is a billionaire from New York who came down from an escalator, who was three times married and twice divorced, the most pro-life president in American history? Why is it that it took a billionaire from New York who was formerly a Planned Parenthood donating Democrat to put Gorsuch and Kavanaugh on 200 circuit court judges on the Supreme Court? Why is it that a guy that never served before in American politics was able to renegotiate NAFTA, get us out of the WTO, tell the WHO to go pound sand, tell the UN to go pound sand, renegotiate NATO altogether, get us out of the JCPOA, make sure those billions of dollars we sent Iran are not going there anymore, move the embassy to Jerusalem, recognize the Golan Heights, deregulate the American economy, make us energy independent, finally build the wall? Why is it that that guy did it? It's because every single other person that preceded him besides President Reagan was part of the problem. They are part of the very same community of people that were Ivy League educated, said one thing and did another, were part of the ruling class that protected the agency, protected the Bureau, protected the DOJ. And as long as you said the right things and kept the deficits going, raised the taxes, deteriorated the industrial base, boosted Wall Street profits, kept the borders wide open so that we could have foreign nationals domiciling in our country that do not share our values, eventually get benefits, their kids can vote against our own values, then things will be just fine. Why is it that this guy is different? It's because unlike any other president, he could have been in the ruling class. He said no thanks. He had enough money to be in the ruling class. He's got more money than James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, Smirk, his lover Lisa Page, and the person who probably published his book, combined and multiplied times 100. He's the only president in modern history to have his own plane and actually go to probably a smaller plane when he becomes president of the United States. He's one of the only presidents that was a best-selling author, number one TV show on The Apprentice, NBC, literally was in every single rap song, was glamorized. President Barack Obama said the American dream is to be what? Is to be Donald Trump. That's what he said the American dream was. Why is it that this guy's all of a sudden the populist hero? He's supposed to be part of the ruling class. It's because he's a defector from it. It's because he was in the dinners. He was in the cocktail parties. He heard the language. He heard the contempt that the ruling class, the Wall Street financiers, the Washington, D.C. lobbyists, and the Silicon Valley elites that he had to be around. He knew the contempt that they had for the plumber, electrician, the carpenter, the bricklayer, and the person building the very same building that he was financing. So he took the woman rank mentality, the philosophy that built that woman rank quicker and better than anyone could have imagined, despite the New York City bureaucracy and the municipal burdensome rules. And he said, I'm going to bring this to Washington, D.C., and I'm actually going to do something that a politician has never done before. I'm going to tell you the truth, no matter how brutal and honest it is. I'm going to do what I say I'm going to do. From the time he went down the escalator, he was the only person running for office that talked about China immigration, the two issues that are most affecting our country now. How was this possible? Because he listened to the very people the ruling class hated. He would walk a job site and he would ask him, what's on your mind? He says, man, I'm really worried that we're getting taken over by China. I'm really worried that we're getting too many people in this country. I'm worried I can't pay for healthcare. He internalized. That's what a populist is, someone who listens to the people. So what makes President Trump different? This is a president who didn't need his job. He's the only president in American history who's going to be poorer after becoming president than before. He's not going to sign a book deal big enough to possibly make up for the gains. His son, investigated by every single authority imaginable, from Bob Mueller to the House Intelligence Committee to Adam Schiff to the Federal Bureau of Investigation, after being set up for that very same meeting. His businesses audited and currently under criminal investigation by the New York Attorney General for no reason and no grounding for other. His other son, Eric Trump, his charity gets shut down for self-dealing despite no evidence at all. He just wants to give treatment to cancer kids, St. Jude's Hospital. His 11-year-old son, under constant and daily attacks for just existing as a teenager or early, you know, a 12 or 13-year-old in this society. How dare he live? He's the only person that would be more damaged materially, philosophically, and morally. Every other president ends up better on the back end. They end up being able to write their stoic journal and drama and being better respected. This guy is a vessel for us. A vessel for those of us that have nothing but resentment for the kingdom of Washington, D.C. The type of people that think everything is just perfectly fine because we just built a Hermes. Hermes is now in rest in Virginia, don't you know? Louis Vuitton's in Fairfax County, everybody. Things are great. Didn't you know that we literally have Dolce & Gabbana now in Georgetown? Things must be wonderful. You go into Washington, D.C., the cranes are as far as you can possibly see. The construction cranes, they're trying to rebuild the Parthenon, the Giza pyramids quicker than anything I've ever seen. It's more construction happening in D.C. perpetually. Why? It's the only place in America. This is why 8 out of 10 of the wealthiest counties in America are around Washington, D.C. It's the only place in America where they get richer at gunpoint. They have a multi-trillion dollar cash flow happening into their center, into their power structure every single year, not because we want it. If Chicago and Minneapolis and Detroit, if people get rich there, they have to convince you to buy their products. Maybe it's manufacturing, maybe it's automobiles, maybe it's Best Buy, which is, of course, a Minneapolis company. But Washington, D.C. is different. They do it at gunpoint.
They do it at gunpoint. You think Charlie hit on something there? I do. In summary today, Donald Trump has for 2 days been receiving counsel from those in his administration about how to address the racial horrors unfolding on the streets of the U.S. Some in the White House wanted a speech to the nation. Others thought that would be too dangerous and become nothing more than political fodder. The president thought it through. He made his historical speech and trek through Washington Park to St. John's Church with a Bible in his hand. He didn't give a speech. He stood there holding up the Bible to the press across the street. He just told the world that the U.S. wasn't as the greatest nation on earth. We're having difficulties, but we're going to come back, and we're going, when we come back, to be stronger than ever. I actually watched that unfold and got teary-eyed. There's no doubt that historians will mark that trip to the church as a historical moment of this administration. Here's how the mainstream media framed it to the nation with their story and news headlines. Here we go. Here's number one. Donald Trump says, "I am your law and order president," orders heavily armed soldiers to D.C., and threatens to deploy military nationwide, then has protesters tear gas so he can walk to a fire-damaged church and brandish a Bible. That today, right after all of that happened, in the Daily Mail. Here's the second headline. Trump declares himself the law and order president as peaceful protesters or dispersed. That's CNN. Trump threatens to deploy military against protesters as tear gas fired outside White House. That from The Guardian. Trump vows to send military to U.S. cities if governors don't dominate protesters. MSNBC. Trump vows to deploy military if violence continues. Police clear protesters with tear gas so Trump can pose by a church. The New York Times. Trump warns that he will dispatch troops if local officials do not crack down. The Washington Post. Do you see it, folks? Can you figure it out on your own? I told you I'd give you the perspective. Here's the perspective. They're unified. They're on target with their purpose. And they're moving forward in strength to reestablish the deep state as in total control of Washington, D.C. For decades, folks, it was in control, and we didn't even know it. The sad thing in all this, they want to accomplish it without Americans, without you, without me, even knowing the deep state is real. Oh yeah, it's real. Hope you had a good time over the weekend. I hope you're back on track, and we are plugged in, folks, both here every day with our story, our podcast, and then from 9 to 11 a.m. Central Time, TNN Live right here. The top of this story on the right side, you see that blue vertical banner? You can click on it where it says Listen Live. Click to Listen Live at 9 a.m. Central Time. Join us there live. Call in, talk shows. We talk about all kind of events, and we love to chat with you. We even have our own toll-free number for you, 1-866-378-7884. Easier to remember this. That's 866-37-TRUTH. We'll see you at 9 o'clock this morning. Can't come join us then? We'll see you tomorrow morning right here at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.
From McAllen, Texas to Berlin, Germany, the universal language is truth on TNN,
the Truth News Network.